So welcome to another episode of the Epic Valen Podcast. Today we have with us Ray Jacobs. Now, Ray Jacobs has played football in Canada for the CFL and has played football for the NFL as well. Ray has lots of great stories for us. So without further ado, Mr. Ray Jacobs, how are you?
I'm good today. How are you doing, Ryan?
Not too bad at all. Thank you very much for being on the Epic Valen Podcast. We like to just talk to all sorts of interesting people. I think any professional athlete is going to have a lot of great stories for us. First of all, you've had quite the career in the CFL. So 2003, tell me a little bit about that.
Well, 2003 was probably one of my best CFL years. I had joined the team late in the season through a trade through the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. I remember training really hard for that year. I was very, very confident. And I also think that I actually was just became a student of the game. Whereas before, when I started my career off in the CFL, I was all about power and speed. It was either I was bullying someone or I was trying to run around them. You know, football's a game. When you play against the line, especially at a defensive position, it's a thinking man's game. It's a chest. You want to make the player, the offensive lineman, go where you don't want him to go. So you have to kind of play a mind game with him. Sometimes you run upfield and you do an in and out. Sometimes you just run upfield. Sometimes you go up and go underneath. It's all predicated on what he's doing and his body movement and his responses. So it became a better thinker. I actually put together a great little pass rush package. And on top of that, I was probably the fastest I have been and also one of the strongest.
Was there an award that you got?
I earned the award of Defensive Player of the Year for the BC Lions.
For the BC Lions. That's awesome.
Yep. And I also got nominated for Defensive Player of the Year for the CFL. And I was a perennial East-West All-Star.
That's awesome. Now, so playing for CFL versus NFL, I mean, it's the differences are varied too, like, you know, offensively and defensively. Defensive, like, everybody just thinks the size of the ball, right? But so you got the size of the field, you got three downs, right? What are some of the major differences that you had to get over going from CFL to NFL?
The size of the field. In the NFL, the field is 50 yards wide. Here, it's 65. That means a quarterback can run sideline to sideline. I've seen it done. And run no huddle and pretty much zap the defense. I mean, when I say zap, I mean that you're exhausted at the end. I remember playing against the BC Lions when I was at Calgary. It was my first year in the CFL. I was not used to the field. Damon Allen performed a great play because he's a great player. He ran from sideline to sideline for a minute and 20 seconds. And he made everybody on the defensive line look like a joke. And then he finally, at the end of it, he threw a bomb, and they scored about 40 yards. So you know, most people call the CFL compared to the NFL the midget league. It's not the midget league. It's just that the bigger guys around 300 pounds, 280 and above, they have a hard time transitioning because of the field size and because of the time between plays. In the NFL, you have about 38 seconds before the ball in between plays interval. In the CFL, it's a lot less. Don't quote me on it. It's been a while since I played, but I'm thinking it's probably less than half that. So you had a quick turnaround. So that means if you have a long play or they run no huddle, you don't have very much time to recuperate. And because the field is so wide, if you're a bigger player, all they have to do is run sweeps, sideline to sideline, and you're going to get tired. It's inevitable.
What did you like playing better?
Well, you know, I love both the games, but I would be lying if I didn't say that the NFL offered more money. It was more prestigious. And there's also a lifelong dream that we dream of from the time that we're knee high. So I like the NFL better for that reason. But I also love the CFL because it is still football. And I won two championships.
Nice. Who were they with?
They were both with the Calgary Stampeders.
See, that's what it's all about. Why'd you go to BC?
I went to where I thought the opportunity was. And at the time, I knew Wally. I played for Wally at Calgary. So I reached out to him first because he knew me better.
Mm-hmm. With all this, you know, you talk about the glory and everything, especially in the NFL, right? I mean, you got just the crowds alone are just wild. The upside is, you know, the recognition, you're an NFL player. Downside, any downside to any of this?
Well, the downside is it is a business, and you never know when the last game that you play. It is a lot of politics. Money rules the world. Money rules that game. There is less camaraderie. And when I say camaraderie, I mean like when guys in high school and college, when you're playing for the love of the game, everyone sticks together. Everyone meets for this. Everyone meets for that. The players are closer. When you get into professional level, it's more cliquish. That means there's a lot of groups, but they're smaller.
Okay. Being like NFL to CFL, a lot of football movies out there. How accurate would you say they are? Because I have a theory. I'm a bit of a movie buff, and I'm like, find me a bad football movie.
Any Given Sunday was probably the best depiction. But NFL, you know, although I didn't see any drugs, but I'm pretty sure it was out there. I mean, they do drug testing. But that was probably the best depiction of Any Given Sunday, the NFL football. Actually, I heard that it wasn't Robert De Niro, but Al Pacino actually visited Denver and walked the sideline with Mike Shanahan before they started filming so he can get some type of feeling for the position and how to carry yourself and those sort of things. But that movie was pretty accurate. Varsity Blues would probably be another one because in Texas, that's big football for high school players. They're packing the stadium $100,000 each game.
That's crazy for high school.
Texas is a big football state.
Yeah, it is. That's wild. Do you know what I always ask everybody, especially when I first started this, was like a very Calgary-based podcast, but now it's global. But I always ask people, like, are you from Calgary? Are you from somewhere else? Moved to Calgary? Because half, I swear to God, you know, 75% of Calgarians aren't from Calgary.
I'm from North Carolina. I was born and raised on the Northeastern Seaboard. For those who don't know where that is, it's approximately probably a 12-hour drive from Miami, straight down the coastline. So you would hit Miami, you probably would go through Tampa Bay, then you would hit Georgia, and then from there, South Carolina and then North Carolina.
So why Calgary?
I have three kids here, Riker, Tayana, and Angelina. Tayana 6, Riker is 10, and Angelina's 19. I'm pretty sure, I don't know if you're a father, but as a father, you just worry about your kids. I don't want to not be in their lives. I love them dearly, and I like to stay close. My oldest, I remember one time I was at home. I went home for my mom's funeral, and she kind of scared me because she called me on Christmas night, and she said, "Dad, where are you? I need you." And I was like, uh-oh. So you asked me why I'm here. Well, for one, it's cheaper than trying to locate a $2,600 flight, if that, short notice to get your butt on the plane and maybe travel 5 to 6 hours. I always think of it, if there's an emergency, what would I do? I don't want to get a call about my kids, and I want to see them grow up. I want to be in their life. I love them dearly. What father wouldn't want to spend time with his children?
Family's what it's all about. And that's like, no kids myself, but I come from a big family. And it's all about that for me.
Absolutely.
That's what life's all about. What got you playing football?
For one, I was bored. When I was a kid, I grew up in the church. Actually, football had just started the year before. Or was it the first year? No, it started the year before, and I came out my seventh grade. I was actually sitting at home, and my sister's boyfriend came over, and he happened to play football. And I was sitting on the couch, and he looked at me. He's like, "Look at you. You're a big boy." And he went in there and asked my mom, "I'm going to take him to go play football." He told me, "Get up and come on." They let me go. Now, from there, I got beat for 2 years. Basically, football is a sport that you have to grow into. It's not like basketball. It's very physical. There's all different types of bodies. And if you don't hit the gym, you will get outmaneuvered, outpowered, and plain whooped. So for a little skinny kid from North Carolina, you know, I was undersized. I'm not going to lie. I would be considered a runt growing up. But from a little kid from North Carolina coming in who hasn't lifted. Now, I was cock strong. I grew up on a farm and I was strong, but I was just not, I just did not have the weight, the body, or the experience to handle that. But I grew into it. It took me a year to learn the game. It took me another year to compete and get strong. And by the ninth grade, I was ready for varsity.
It's funny that you mention being on the farm and not being, you know, having the size behind you, but having some strength, because I've always said that there's, you'll call it farmer strength, right? Because you'll see some of these guys and you're not like, it's, I don't know if it's from Balen Hay. Somebody was telling me a story about their dad in their 80s, baling hay up into the loft of this thing, and he couldn't keep up. You know, he was in his 40s, half his age, and he couldn't keep up with him. He couldn't keep up with his dad because his dad was just, you don't look at this guy and think he's strong, right? But like a farmer's strength, you know, someone's working all day compared to somebody that's like at the gym, you know, when it's jacked, right? You know, it's two very different things.
Yeah, I'll expand on that. Basically, what we mean is being cock strong means you're stronger than the average person just because you worked harder when you were younger, where most kids were out riding bikes and playing. You were lifting wood, you were cutting wood, you were baling. So it's kind of more like a breeding process. Not to mention when you grow up on a farm, you live off the land, more organic food. You just eat a lot healthier. We tend to be bigger kids, but it's basically, you're not supposed to start lifting weights until you're, I think for most kids, 12 to 14. I think 12 is the lowest now. It used to be 14. Well, just consider this. You're not lifting weights, but you're lifting logs, very big logs. You're doing yard work around the house. This is all conditioning. This is conditioning that most kids don't get. So we know from the Tiger Woods area that the younger you start your kid off performing a certain task, as they get older, the better they become. With that being said, Tiger Woods was so good because he hit a golf ball when he was 3. Ray Jacobs was so good because he started playing when he was 7, which now they started at a younger age. But Ray Jacobs was so good because from the time that I was old enough to go to school, I was outside doing yard work, raking, lifting things. Let's just say my dad died when I was 3. There wasn't another man. I was the closest thing to a man in the house. My mom did not remarry. So when things needed to be moved, I was the wheelbarrow and the forklift.
Oh, I like that. Wouldn't you say there's probably some mental strength that probably comes along with that too, right? You know, having to be there for your mom as well.
When you grow up poor, you got to do things. You don't have the luxury of not doing something. Everyone is depending on everyone else. It's a team. You have to do things the hard way. You don't have central heating, so you got to go out and cut wood. Farm work is hard. Anything outdoor is hard. I mean, most of the kids today could not do it. It is a different type of beast, but you're also raised a different type of way. Let's just say it, like my mom believed in spare the rod, spoil the child. So you didn't have the opportunity to quit. You didn't have an opinion. You had a choice whether to do it or not.
Because, you know, I look at, you know, a lot of, you know, what's going around in the world today, and something about like drive, right? And I often talk about, I was talking with a mental health person here not too long ago, and we were talking about it, it's highly controversial, but, you know, people that grow up in a certain lifestyle, maybe, you know, it's, let's take a look at like Wayne Gretzky's kid or Michael Jordan's kid, right? Like it's that, I think in its own respect would be tough. Like even though you're coming from, you know, a wealthy family, or, you know, everybody thinks, oh, you have everything handed to you, that's actually just as probably much of a detriment. Sure, I mean, everybody wants, you know, if I had kids, I want the best for them, right? But in a way, it's almost like by having something you have to work for, you know, really hard, you develop that character and you develop that drive and that hunger to get, you know, success. And it would be super hard growing up being the son or daughter of an athlete where you're trying to get into maybe a similar sport and you're always being compared to that person.
I think the word we're looking for is discipline, right? When you grow up hard and you live hard and you live poor, it's a very unhappy feeling. You don't have the luxuries that most kids have. You don't get to do the things that most kids have. Like I became a nature traveler. I used to grab a stick, like walking tall, and go on nature. go on nature hiking trips for hours and hours, just learning about the world and getting, I got in a lot of trouble because I was unsupervised, but I learned so much and it preoccupied my mind. I didn't have the option of video games. I didn't have the option of sitting around watching TV. You got what you got and you learn to work for it. My mom didn't have the luxury of having a bunch of money. We had to do without a lot of times, and I know she did. We had a lot of hand-me-downs. It's just when you grow up hard, you respect, you learn the value of a dollar.
Arguably, I came from a similar situation, you know, single mother. And yeah, and you learn really fast. You learn to appreciate what you have, I think, is the best way to put it.
Yeah, you do.
You know, I never thought of my house being a small house until I had one day, one of my friends at the time left the house. And as I closed the door behind him, I heard him say to his mom that picked him up, "Oh, geez, they have a really small house." And I was like, screw you, dude. You know, like, I'm happy. That should be good enough. Right. So discipline is huge.
Well, discipline, my definition of discipline is doing something that you don't want to do and doing it with maximum effort, kind of like taking a cold shower for 30 seconds every morning.
I heard that's great, but I need to warm up to it. maybe that's not the, but yeah, a cold shower here is amazing for you.
You just don't have the luxury of choices. It's either you do or you don't. And if you do, you gain. If you don't, you lose. There is no gray area. Make do with what you have.
Taking action is a, and like you say, swallowing the frog, they say, right? Like doing the things that you don't like, but you know you have to do them anyway.
It makes you more responsible, like clean your room, wash your clothes. You know, all the things that kids have catered to them today. Not only do you learn the value of a dollar, but you learn how to work hard, working hard. You learn how to put in a full day's work. Let's not forget about that. You learn how to work.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, same here. Like I had a family business that I kind of grew up within that my grandparents started. And yeah, I was working from a very, very young age. And as I grew up, I found other friends that had family businesses. And either you have like the mom and dad that are like, oh, this is a family business. And you're like, mom, dad, you know, I'm not coming in. I'm not doing this. And it's like, or you have the parents that are like, you're in here and you're working and you have to set an example, because I can't expect anything out of my staff if I can't expect it out of you. Right. So you have some really good insight on this. And I'm just wondering, you ever think about going into like a coaching or a motivational?
I've been asked that a lot, and I will eventually get into motivational speaking. I'm highly motivated, and I listen to my motivational speeches every day. I'm just a student of the game, and when I open my mouth, it comes out. And a lot of people say that I can get into that. As far as coaching, I have done some coaching. As a matter of fact, that is next on my to-do list. I went to the University of North Carolina. Unfortunately, I didn't graduate. And it wasn't because I skipped school. It was just my final year. I had two courses where I had 8 averages in. They were in drama. They were in my speech comm, my major. And the rule was, if you missed 3 or more days, they weren't going to pass you no matter what. During that time, I was traveling with my agent. I was meeting coaches. I was trying to get my butt in the NFL. They weren't having it. So those two classes turned into incompletes. And whereas an incomplete, most teachers would let you make up work. My teacher wanted me to come back and take the classes over. That was impossible to do with an NFL career. And furthermore, I didn't want to do it. So they turned to Fs over time, and that stopped me from graduating. So with that being said, I'm planning on going back to school and finishing up and joining their graduate assistant program and becoming a collegiate coach. That is definitely a to-do on my list. I've already contacted them, and they know I'm coming.
That's awesome. That's really good for you, man. What are you doing in the meantime?
What am I doing in the meantime besides being a father? A lot of self-investing. A lot of self-investing and just doing whatever I can to make means meet. during this whole process of post football. I had to go through a lot. I had to deal with a lot. And, you know, of course, we all work. We all do the things that we need to survive. But very few people work to excel. A lot of people live to work. And I want to work to live. Actually, I just became involved with a program under Nick Lewis. He launched a media platform that was similar to Netflix and YouTube, except this media platform is only for athletes. It still works on the subscribers where you get subscriptions, but unlike the bigger versions of YouTube, he has it set up where the athletes take the majority of the money, which is good. This platform, you can do any type of performance you have, whether it be podcast, whether it be working out. It could be a reality show. It could be anything you want. I joined that. And that's going to do well. That's going to follow kind of along the lines of motivational speaking. And it's going to fall under my major, which is speech communications. But the thing is I want to reiterate is that I've coached pretty much every school in Calgary. I've worked with some schools. I even launched a platform for the NYFO, which was a National Youth Football Organization, was flag football. I started a league here. It didn't do so well, but you live and you learn. I've done the coaching, but I don't want to walk away with less than what I give. I volunteer my time under the pretense that they would help me either gain a coaching job or earn some favor within the system, and it never worked out. I can't live like that. And that's why I've opted to go back to school and have the organization place me at a level of pay that I'm comfortable with, and then I don't have to worry about it. I don't want to coach for free. I mean, I do like working with kids, but it gets you nowhere, and you're sharing a lot of knowledge. I played in the NFL and in the CFL, right? What was disheartening to me was I started all-season program. I worked with a Bantam team. I helped take them. They were like 1-7, and they had one game left. I helped take them to the championship. They went out. And we lost the championship. So I'm good working with kids. I'm good working with anybody on that level. I know, but I want to get something from it. After that season, I offered to run a program, all-season training program. I started off with 20. I dropped to 11. I had a consistent 8. But what was disheartening to me was the fact that I was out there giving these kids A1 training, NFL training for $20 an hour. Cheap, right?
Yeah, that's super cheap.
These people were not, they couldn't own up to it. Yet, I still had 4 or 5 players. They were missing for a year. I don't know, they were missing for a week. And when I found out where they were, needless to say, I was saddened. The reason I was saddened was because they had went to a camp for a week that cost $1,500 for 1 week, and they couldn't even pay me $20 to $60 a week. That was when I had to do a wake-up call. And I mean, I know people love their NHL, but I would like to think that NFL is right there too.
Oh, NFL and CFL, like, I mean, especially Calgary, where we've done so well over the years. I think I'd say we are the big football city in Canada, right? I'd like to think so. It's definitely one of the better games to watch, for sure. I like my hockey. I can't skate worth a damn, but I love some football. This is really, really interesting because you're mentioning that you want to live to work.
I want to work to live. I don't want to live to work.
Exactly.
Work has to be separate from your home life, right? It's two different things. Actually, in the Bible, work is considered something that you love to do with your hands, that you love to do. It is not work. It is not a job. It's what you love to do with your hands. That's what God considers work.
So what would that be for you? Ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, of course, you got football, you got training, you talked about doing some motivational speaking and working on this project with Netflix for the athletes. What is your ideal thing that you would love to do?
With my hands?
With your heart? With your hands? With your mind?
I'm just going to chalk it up to this, my New Year's resolution. I would like to be the best expression of myself. I don't want to limit myself to one thing. Honestly, God, I mean, I am still getting to know myself. I am always growing. Whatever, I've done so many decent things with my hands, but texting is not one of them. That is hard for me. I can't do that. Like my fingers just don't bind with the keypad. But I can't say there's one thing that I like to do more than the other, because I'm still looking for that one thing that I like to do. So I'm just going to try to be better at everything, including being myself.
Dude, I love that. That's beautiful. That's to be the best version of yourself. That's almost, I get weird. So if you look into like samurai culture, right? Like if you look into like Japanese culture and the samurai, that's what they did. They said, you know, to be, you know, you'd have like a guy that's like, you know, they do this fighting and everything like that, but then they'd also do flower arranging, and they're so focused on wanting to be the best at whatever they were doing. And I think that I'm a little bit like that, where I have way too many interests, and I guess what I'm saying is I identify with what you're saying. It's sometimes I feel lost and I'm like, I don't know myself, right? Like I'd like, what do I want? Right. And it's like, there's just so much out there to experience. And if I'm just, I guess if, like you said, if you're just the best version of you, that's at the end of the day, the best thing.
Yeah. There's a saying, you can be a master at one thing or be good at everything. That's interesting. If you can be good at everything, that would be good. But you also want to have that one thing that you master. But if you're good at everything, I would think you would be a master at one. But I don't want to limit myself and be a master at something. It's called balance and being well-rounded.
With your logic there, if you're good at everything and you just like, and you want to, you know, invest 100% of yourself, if you're going to do a task like, I'm going to learn guitar, you know, I'm going to start studying guitar and I'm going to give 100% of myself to learning guitar. But I also enjoy maybe writing, or I enjoy, you know, football, right? Or I enjoy, you know, whatever it may be, other things as well. But when I'm doing that thing, I'm going to invest 100% of myself. So wouldn't that, in a sense, becoming a master of like self-discipline, or being a master of like, I'm going to be a master of Ryan, right?
You hit it on the head. You hit it on the head with that self-discipline. That's kind of like being the best expression. It really starts with you. So if you have the perfect attitude, if you have a great attitude, it starts with your attitude. And if you just have like good moral values and you're able to cope, like have great coping skills and great problem solving skills, I think that's all you need in life. I think with that, you can be good at everything. And with that, you become a master at whatever you choose. Because being a master at whatever you choose just means you do it more. Kids who play video games, you know, but Mr. Jacobs is all about being a master of self-discipline, because when you're a master of self-discipline, you have it in you to do everything. If you don't know it, you can learn it because you're disciplined. If you're not good at it, you can go back, you can practice and become better because you're disciplined. So I like that. I like that phrase right there. However, this is the catch. You have to find ways to make money. So you can't be good at, I mean, you got to take time. It's just, it's all about time consuming. It seems like everything's just, time's just speeding up. So you got to factor that in too. So
at the end of the day, you have to make money, and it's very great to be altruistic and be like, you know, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life, but it's like, yeah, you need to eat too, or you need to feed your family too at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
It is idealistic, but I think if you find that niche, I think it's a matter of finding that balance, I guess, right? Where you're doing what you love and bringing in the money. Sort of like you said about that story where it's like, yeah, it's really disheartening when they have a quality person teaching them football and they don't even realize it. It's right under their nose and they're going off and paying some ridiculous amount of money when they could either just be taking advantage of learning for really cheap, or actually, you know, pay what this guy is worth.
Story is the story of my life. You just can't let people take advantage of me, and they will. And like I said, I, you know, coaching, yes, I did. I've done a lot. I'm very good at it. However, I just was not in the position where I could capitalize off of it. I did a lot of volunteer work, and I did it over a course of a decade. That does not translate into a career to me, because, you know, a career to me is something that you can benefit from. Like I said, I love working with kids and I love giving my time, but I mean, you should get compensated for your knowledge, especially something like that.
If money wasn't a factor, you could do anything. What is the one thing that you would choose to do?
You're asking me, what do I love? I find myself doing a lot of motivational speaking without cause. I find that a lot of people come to me. A lot of people ask me questions. I find that I have a lot to say, and it's happening more prevalent than ever. And I feel good about it, because when I was going through a tough time in life, Ryan, I looked for answers and no one was there. Even when I asked for the answers, I still couldn't get the full answer. I got a half truth, because most people have ulterior motives. I know how it is to want to get better and not have someone to help you or to support or someone to give you an answer. So I vow to myself that no matter what, if I can give somebody some knowledge to help them along the way, I will. That is my motto. That is my creed, because I know how it feels to not have that option.
So I think the universe is speaking to you, my friend. If people are coming to you and asking your advice and you enjoy it. I think that's definitely, you're headed down the right path if you're looking into motivational speaking and maybe some life coaching.
Yep. Well, a lot of people ask me, you asked me earlier today. It's a question that comes up most, and I tell them I would love to. I did have a couple of speaking engagements before COVID hit, but you know, when people talk to me, that's the first thing they say is, would you like to speak at my job? Or would you like to do that? It's coming into fruition. It's coming into fruition. So we'll see. We'll see. I just got to make sure that I'm ready for it, Ryan. That's it.
Yeah. Do it. And that's what opportunity is too, is making sure you're ready for that opportunity when it comes. Man, I've seen so many great little things that have motivated me lately. And one of them is, and I keep bringing it up, and people that listen to this podcast are probably like so sick of me saying it, but I've seen this one. It was like just this thing on the internet, like a meme or whatever, and it had two ladders right beside each other. And the one ladder had like a lot of steps to it, like a lot of different rungs to it. And the guy, the little stick man, was at the top. And the other ladder had really spaced out rungs, right? The steps are the spaced out. And he couldn't, the little stick man at the bottom couldn't even reach the first one. Right. So it's all about those like baby steps, right? And it's like, I always look at myself and say to myself too, you know, because you have to check yourself every once in a while, right? I look at it and I'm like, it's the baby steps. It's not like, oh, I'm gonna do this one big thing and become an award-winning CFL player. I'm not going to play in the NFL by going to the gym once, right? Like, it's all these like menial tasks, like these seemingly, like it seems like it's not getting you anywhere, right? Like, it's little things that you do every day. If you have that attitude, I think you're going to get into that motivational speaking for sure.
Yeah, it's the small things that count. The saying, big things come in small packages. That's true. But it's the small things that count, because in a game, like say, for instance, in the Grey Cup, most teams are evenly matched. It's that one play, that one inch that comes down to the winning effort. And you got to remember that. Like, it's a little bit like, especially in the NFL, most of these guys are all good. They're all fast. They're all strong. They're big. The only difference from each player is the experience, how hard they train, and their mental attitude. There are some men that you're going to run up against, and you know, like in the back of your mind, you know that they're better than you. However, they can't be better than you that day. So you got to tell yourself that you're better than them just so you can play an even game.
Yeah, exactly. Really enjoyed this. This is great. You're super motivational. I'm really feeling it.
Thank you. Thank you, Ryan. It helps to have a good host.
How did you get to know Alex?
Alex is a good man. Alex is the owner of one of the gym that I trained at before COVID-19 hit. He's a great guy. Him and Chris Bass, I love those guys to death. I work out, I train. I actually did a podcast in Saskatchewan, and the whole podcast thing was about me coming out of retirement. And I know, at the age of 48. Yes, I do. Let me explain my meaning.
Are you coming out of retirement?
Well, that's what I want to do. I want to do that. And this is something that I was thinking about. And I want to let the people know why. It's not for the fame. It's not for the glory, because I've already had that. For one, it's for my kids. You know, I'm not a permanent resident here. And I want to be close to my kids. And I've spent a lot of time here going back and forth because, like I said earlier, you can't leave your kids behind. It's so hard to do. I want to be a father to them. And I should have that right. However, I'm making a lot of sacrifices being here in Canada. And I'm not getting any younger. One of those sacrifices is money, financially. Permanent residency is what I require in order to be here. And so I was talking with my friend Anthony Pryor, and he was like, Ray, why don't you just come out, go out and play football? You know you could do it. You have the body. I didn't have any surgeries when I played, and that's amazing. I went and had NFL evaluations. They checked me up full, up and down, and they said, you're a healthy as horse. The only thing you need to work on is your posture. They said there was something off with my balance. And so that's what I did. I'm getting better. And I started healing. I started getting better and better and better. You know, people started coming up to me and saying, why don't you play football, or do you play football? And I'm like, no, I haven't played since 06. And they're like, oh. And it's kind of like you just kind of listen to the universe. Next thing I know, there was a rumor started out in the Saskatchewan line, like, I'm going out to play football. And I was like, I never mentioned that. But, you know, it's something to be said when people, fans, and you know how the Rider fans are, they know they football, but when they look at your body, they watch you lift, they watch you train, and they come up and say, you should play football. I think that's special. I've never been a low self-esteem guy. We all go through our down points, and you question it, but I've never been. But I kind of, you know, talking with Anthony Pryor, and he mentioned that, I was like, that'd be a great, great, great goal to have. It's something that most people haven't seen, nor has many football players done. But I'm not doing it as a propaganda stunt. I'm doing it because I really believe that I can. I really do. I feel it in my heart. And I've never backed down from a challenge, especially something as great as this. I know how violent the game is. I know how tough it is on the body. But when I'm moving the way I am, and I'm lifting the weight I am. And that's the thing, is like, I never stop lifting. I never stop training after football. I think this would be a great way to showcase the world, any team that gets me, who I am. And it'd be a great opportunity for me to extend my stay in Canada. I'm going to give it another year, but I want it to do something for myself, because I have tried to do it many different ways. I've went through the sponsorship. I went through the work visa. I've asked people to help me. I've had girlfriends that wanted to help me. It never transpired. Me being who I am, I like to think of myself as an independent man who doesn't depend on anyone. You know, after this last, I've had some job offers fail. I've had some sponsorships that just did not work out due to the relationship failing. And I was like, Ray, what are you doing? So I wanted to take matters into my own hand.
So your kids are Canadian citizens?
Yes, sir.
This shouldn't be hard, right? Like, I'm sorry, I'm looking at this and I'm like, yeah, I'm calling out the government here a little bit. Like, come on, this guy wants to live with his kids. He wants to live up, you know, and he's a solid cat. You know, he's like, you know, he played for two football teams in Canada, right? Like, why is there trouble?
I played for four. The trouble came when I played here. You know, I just didn't know how the immigration rules. I should have already had it. Actually, once you play here for 3 years, you can go and apply for it and get it. No one told me that, and I did not find out until I crossed the border in 2006. As soon as I crossed the border and tried to get back, they're like, yeah, you're going to need more than this. And I was like, why? And they're like, well, if you would have applied for permanent residency, you would be able to walk in like you did before. Now you can't. Now that you don't have a work visa, you can't. And I'm like, wow, so what do I need? Well, you're going to need a birth certificate. You're going to have to check in, and you're going to have to leave a certain time during the year. You can't stay here more than a certain month. You can come back, but you just can't have a long extended stay. And that was the first mistake. The second mistake was just, I just didn't have the support here for whatever reason. You know, it is hard. It is hard. And if you ask anybody who's ever went through the process, it is not guaranteed. You still have to have a sponsor, whether it be a job or whether it be another Canadian. Those are the rules. No matter how many kids you have, those are the rules. They don't want you to become a burden on the state. That's what it is. They have to have a backup plan where you can supply for yourself and take care of yourself, right? The process that is at hand, those are the two options. You know, I just haven't received that adequate support. I've received a lot of promises, but I've looked at it three different times. I've been dealing with the immigration on that level. They said it helps, but it's not enough. It's not enough. You have to have a sponsor. You have to.
Have you spoken with an immigration specialist?
Ryan, I've been trying for 10 years straight, and it just had not panned out. Some of it was... It was not my fault. I jumped through the hoops. It's just for some reason, people just didn't follow through, or they started and they didn't finish, or they offered. There was one job I went through an 8-month process, and I met with 8 different department heads, and they offered me the job, and they also offered me the paperwork to go with it. And they said, we'll start you in a year. We'll start you at the new year. I think that was August. The new year came in, and I called, no answer. I called, no answer. And then they finally got back to me. They told me they weren't going to do it. The year before that, I had an offer to run a gym in BC. My buddy was one of the owners. He had 2 co-owners. They agreed to it. We went through the process. They backed out in the end. So that's kind of like been the story of my life. And that's why I say I don't want to depend on anyone. I would like to give it another chance because I personally do not want to leave my kids behind and try to be a father from across the border. But it came to that point. And that's what I have to, if I have to do that, that's what I have to do. But this plan that I have is something that takes my power back. It's my body. It's my mind. I feel like I'm going to use what God gave me. I missed the sport, but I can honestly say the only reason I'm coming back is for my kids, or want to come back.
That's amazing. I can hear you hear a little bit about too, like a fighter, right? Like a boxer or whatnot. And it's like, it gets very hard to like stop doing what you've always done, right? Like it's very hard to kind of, I was very involved in the martial arts for a long time. Well, it's like, the perception is that at this age, you just don't do it. Right. And it's like, yeah, you know, and I really want to get back into it, but I really admire you for going after it again. That's incredible. You have a really good cause. You have a really good driving force for that.
With all the growth that I've done and all the self-investment, I mean, you asked me if there was something that I wanted to do that I love doing with my hands. I would probably have to say working out. I love to lift. It is how I beat my alcohol addiction. It is how I bettered myself. It is how I get up in the morning and I look forward to doing that every day. And with that being said, I know I got it in me because I've been doing it every day since.
That's awesome. Are you documenting this at all? Are you going to do any kind of Facebook status updates, or maybe even like a YouTube, just like get in front of a camera every day and be like, yeah, you know, I'm out working out today. You know, this is the goal, you know, and anything like that.
I'm not doing that yet. Actually, this is something that I just kind of just came out with. You know, with every choice that you make, you know, you have to kind of feel it. And for me, I've never been a showy guy. I've been the type of guy that keeps his head down and works behind closed doors in the dark. I wanted to make sure that I was sure that I could pull it off before I even tried to do it. As far as documenting it, I feel like I don't need to. Every time I go to the gym, everyone shows up to watch me. I was that way, and Saskatchewan is that way now. Now, as far as the future, maybe that could be something that I could do. But at this particular point in time, Ryan, I'm just trying to make sure that I don't stick my foot in my mouth and make sure that I'm doing everything I need to be successful.
I have a big foot and mouth disease. I'm always putting my foot in my mouth. So I feel you, man. So on that note, would you be willing to come back and give us an update on how you're doing and how you're doing with everything?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. That's awesome. So if you have any advice to my listeners, because it's a wide range, I have anywhere from martial artists to people, business people to flower designers, that have a wide range of movie producers that listen to this. What word of advice would you have? Because you have achieved, getting into the NFL is huge, right? Like, I'm not blowing smoke, man. Like, you know the pathway to success. So what would you say? What advice would you give to people?
Don't listen to anyone else. Shortcuts lead to the delays. So don't do them. Long delays. And make the most of your opportunities. And follow your heart. Make the most of your opportunities is one that I didn't do so well when I was younger, but I really work hard on it now. And if it takes 5 minutes to do it, just do it and always complete what you start. I don't care if you like it. I don't care if you love it. You got to get in the art of finishing things, the art of completion.
I really like that. And I couldn't agree more. No, that was beautiful and a good spot to end off the podcast. So until next time, everybody, and Mr. Ray Jacobs, stay epic.
Thanks again for listening to Epic Failin'. If you like what you hear, be sure to subscribe, give me a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Real Ryan Failin, and visit my website at thecalgaryrealestateguy.com. Until next time, stay epic.